I have wanted for a long time to write something about climate change, but it's a huge subject. It's an incredibly controversial subject, obviously. It's the biggest untalked about issue of our times, and probably forever will be. Let me back up. It will not be untalked about for much longer, that I can be sure of. But it really has weighed on me that it's time to tackle this in a fictional form, so I did. But what I wanted to write about was really the culture war, the difficulty of this conversation, and why it is that we can all look at the same set of facts and walk away believing different things, and why and how we can persist in certain kinds of denial.
Explore that idea a little bit more, because you write about a family here, an essential character, who a lot of them, they really don't want to believe in this. And as you said, even though we all appear to be looking at the same facts. So in your mind, where is this apparent disconnect happening?
I think that we like to think of ourselves as a much more rational animal than we really are as human beings. We like to think that we look at all the facts and decide what to believe. But I've long had a hunch that it works the other way around. I think we absorb our truths from our community. We take our news from the people we've decided to trust, the people that we think are going to be watching our backs as part of our social group or our club, whatever you want to call it. And then we look for facts that support what we believe. And that's what I wanted to write about in this novel. And how do you have a conversation between these camps? The main character of this novel, whose name is Della Robbia, is a young farm wife. She's gotten kind of trapped in a pretty stultifying life by a teenage pregnancy. She married in high school and has spent every day of her life on this sort of slowly failing sheep farm for the last 11 years. So she's 29, and she's never been anywhere, even though she longs to go somewhere. But she is part and parcel of her culture. She's never really had an opportunity to see beyond the beliefs that she was given. So when this amazing thing happens, she discovers this freak biological event that breaks news first, you know, in her family, in her church, in her town, and eventually in the whole world. It creates quite a ruckus. The media come in, scientists come in, and half the people looking at this believe it's a miracle, some sort of manifestation of God. And the other half believe that it's a very ominous sign of climate change, of biological systems gone awry. So what you have then is a lot of people looking at the same facts, calling it different things, and that gave me an entry into this conversation or non-conversation and where it comes from and where it might go.
I think you seem to personalize this in that character of Della Robbia. There's a very short quote I love, just one sentence. You said, "Why did the one rare, spectacular thing in her life have to be a sickness of nature?" Can you tell me a little bit more about that line? I think it's really interesting.
It looked beautiful to her. She wanted, for once in her life, to have found something fantastic. And it's really hard for her to believe as she comes in contact with the scientists who are studying this freak event, and hears more and more about how disastrous it is. Of course she doesn't want to believe it. None of us wants to believe that things are that bad. It's intrinsic to human nature that we ignore bad news, and that's our flight behavior. You know, we're wired to fight. We have this kind of hardwired response to a crisis, fight or flight. It's much easier to run away from difficult news than to face it head on. That is also what this novel is about, facing or running away from difficult truths. It's kind of an exploration of the whole gamut of responses, the forces that drive us to believe or not believe, the kind of line we walk between religious faith and data that might challenge us, the forces of reason and conviction. We all do this dance. We all want to run away from something.
You've said that climate change is going to be something that we're going to have to deal with at some point. And at the same time, you're writing about characters, a lot of them who just simply don't believe in it. Was it hard for you, as somebody who believes this is a core central issue in our society, to find a level of empathy and understanding for those that don't believe in it?
It was not difficult at all for me to conjure these characters with sympathy, because this is the place where I live. I live in rural southwestern Virginia among farmers for whom climate change is not some abstract future threat, but an absolute reality. We've had every kind of record-breaking weather here in the last years. This summer alone, we had record drought, and then followed by record flooding. We're already dealing with haywire weather events here that are only getting worse. And, of course, this affects farmers first and foremost. So it's heartrending for me to watch the people who were most affected by climate change kind of trapped in a culture that essentially forbids them to know very much, to understand or really accept and believe in what the problem is, increasingly extreme weather and climate disruption. I'm really sympathetic to this dilemma, and that's, in fact, why I wanted to write the novel and why I wanted to set it here in southern Appalachia.
Is part of the issue, and I felt this as seemed in the book, is that there's this incredible detachment from this process of climate change. You have these small farmers on these small plots of land dealing with something that they had nothing to do with, essentially, which is climate change. Or they had a very small thing to do with, I suppose, but that the, you know, a lot of environmentalists like Bill McKibben always argue that the major polluting is happening on these grand scales, and it's the farmers that you're talking about right here that are kind of bearing the brunt of it.
It is very sad and particularly difficult for the poorest among us to come face to face with the idea that we're walking into a future of scaling back consumption. I mean, whether we elect to turn off the lights or whether the power goes out, one way or another, the world will have to figure out how to get by on less. That's not conjecture, that's a fact. So it's very difficult to realize that the people who have already consumed the most are responsible, in some sense, for the most of this problem. And there are other sectors of our society and of the world, of course, who never even got there, who never got to turn on the lights, who never got to eat meat every day. You know, I mean, it's a very strange moment in time when we're talking about voluntary simplicity at the same time other people are working towards having electricity and plumbing.
Tackling these huge issues, specifically of climate change, is this a book that the younger Barbara Kingsolver would have attempted to write?
It's hard to say. I've always had a reach that extended my current grasp, but that's the way you get better. I mean, every time I write a novel, I set out to do something that seems impossible from the start. And maybe as time has gone by, the impossibilities have gotten larger. But that's really exciting. That's what gets me to my desk every morning, because I'm sitting down thinking, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. It's really, really thrilling to tackle something so scary, so compelling. And on the good side, nobody gets to read it until I'm sure that I did it. So I can throw away my mistakes. I can delete them, and I do. So I don't know. I do think that my sympathy for a broader collection of characters is probably the product of my age. I become more certain every year that nobody's completely right and nobody's completely wrong.
Does a book like this leave you with hope or with a sense that there is not much hope with really coming to an agreement or making progress?
Well, how it leaves me as the writer of this book is with a sense that I've done the best I can to invoke some important questions. What I want to do is get my readers to examine these difficult questions. Why is this so difficult to talk about? Why are our disagreements in our culture becoming more entrenched? What are the ways that we alienate the other side? I want to ask those questions. Of course, I can't answer them. Literature doesn't ever tell you what to do. It doesn't tell you what to think. It just prods you to ask yourself, what do you think?
Well, Barbara King-Solver, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome.